Well, we're going to talk about something that comes around every year, Joan. Lent begins on Ash Wednesday.
Well, we're looking at Lent beginning in a few days, and but we kind of have to go back a few days for something very important, and that would be the Pope's Lenten message for 2009. There's always a message every Lent by a Pope, and the one this year was entitled, He Fasted for 40 Days and 40 Nights, and Afterwards He Was Hungry. Obviously, we're referring to Jesus there.
It's taken from Matthew chapter 4, no?
Yes.
There are also a lot of hymns about that. No, there's a 19th century hymn which goes 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if you're familiar with
That's right. In right, I had certainly forgotten about that.
Which is exactly that line,
background music, right? And as the title really suggests, of course, the message does focus on fasting. And the Pope said he hopes really that fasting could be viewed in a positive, not a negative sense. And that is to say, as an act which can lead to God, not as an act of suffering or deprivation where we starve ourselves or something.
Which, when I grew up, used to be the kind of teaching, wasn't it?
Right.
Maybe when you grew up too, Lent was all about fasting and suffering, and it was less about the positive side of.
Exactly.
I don't know if you grew up in the States, so maybe it was different.
It was about giving things up and mortification. I remember that word, of course, as you know, when I was about 7 years old. I don't think I know what mortification meant, but the Pope begins his message by noting that in the very first pages of Scripture, he said the Lord commands man to abstain from partaking of the prohibited fruit. You can eat freely of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. And in his message, the Pope does underscore the importance of renouncing food, which when you say the word fasting, I think that's what comes to everyone's mind.
Vatican calendar actually has fasting on it, doesn't it? It has on Good Friday, you can only eat what they call latticini here, which I suppose is mozzarella.
Sure. Oh, as a matter of fact, I don't know if they still do it, but the Vatican Market for years, if you went shopping on, I think it was Mardi Gras Tuesday or Ash Wednesday, they didn't sell meat. And then all of the, delicatessen section, cheeses and hams and meat, those were all covered. You could not buy it. I don't know if you picked it up and brought it. I mean, let's say you weren't going to eat it Ash Wednesday, you were going to eat it Thursday. But anyway, I know they used to cover all.
So maybe when they say latticini, they don't mean mozzarella, they mean some sort of minor cheese or some sort.
I think so. So anyway, but when the Pope talks about fasting, he says the importance of renouncing food. Note, he says modern society considers this only from the point of view of physical well-being. You know, you want to get slim and trim and you're going to eat less and so forth.
Something called diet, which is very much in the news these days.
Exactly. But he says, you know, this really has a deeper spiritual meaning. And he said fasting seems to have lost something of its spiritual meaning. And in a culture marked by a search for material and physical well-being and a therapeutic value for one's own body, we just don't look at fasting for its benefits for believers, he says. It's a therapy to heal all that prevents them from conformity to the will of God. And he says the voluntary renunciation of food is a spiritual arm to do battle against every possible disordered attachment to ourselves, which helps, he says, the disciple of Christ control appetites of nature weakened by original sin. And this helps us listen to God. If we look at it in this positive sense, we listen to God, we have more time for God, this act of renunciation can lead us to God.
Which actually the Pope links to the obligation to open our hearts and our hands to those in need. That was said at the Vatican presentation.
Exactly.
And interestingly, there was this executive director of the UN's World Food Program
to help present
the papal message.
Yes, Josette Sheeran, she's head of the World Food Program and the director. And I was absolutely stunned by some of the things that came out in her talk when you talk about helping those who don't even have a choice about giving up food.
Benedict has always spoken, you know, over the years that he's spoken about hunger a lot.
And he has. He has, whether it's relative to particular countries where there's issues of poverty and hunger and the malnourished, and he always talks about the weakest ones in society, who the absolute weakest, obviously, are the unborn, but then there are those who are born and suffering, and their little young people can't grow up well because they don't have the nourishment. And Josette Sherin just had some remarkable statistics. And again, she began by talking about what you just said. She said she thanked the Pope for his support for the work they do and also for his Lenten message, because she said, by drawing our attention to voluntary fasting, as he encourages people to do this Lent, we can be helped to remember that hunger is on the march worldwide. Serving the hungry is a moral call that unites people of all faiths. And this is even a year in which we know the global downturn in the economy, and this, believe it or not, we might not think about it, this affects the poor as much as it does anybody else. If they had a little bit to eat before, they have even less now. And people sometimes aren't even giving financial contributions to organizations such as the World Food Program. And it's an economic downturn. You don't have as much money to give. And so the poor are suffering even more. Now, she commented that 1 in 6 people on Earth, 1 billion people, suffers hunger. And she said, it is not a, and this is astonishing, this is not a problem of food availability. It's a problem of distribution. It's one of greed, discrimination, wars, and other tragedies. And then she said, and this makes your heart stop beating, she said, today a child dies every 6 seconds from hunger. Can we overcome this? Can we help these people? Yes, she said, we can. We have the tools and the technology to make this happen, and we've seen it happen in many places around the world. And she really talked about some wonderful programs that they have. And interestingly enough, I loved this one expression. She called the World Food Program's help to feed the hungry poor, these billion that she's talking about, she called it the FedEx to the bottom billion. And of course, FedEx is a reference to a U.S.-based company that offers very time-sensitive deliveries of documents and packages. So she was referring to time-sensitive deliveries to the world starving when she talks about what they do. And she did say that the World Food Program, WFP, works with charities and NGOs, the non-governmental organizations around the world, to ensure that we tailor our programs to local needs. And she said Catholic Charities are key partners for the food program. And, for example, they work with local Caritas and in the diocese of nearly 40 countries in food for work and health and education programs. And they work with the Catholic relief services and so forth.
That's a wonderful witness to our faith, these Catholic charities. I've seen them on the ground, and there's some people there who work really hard.
Oh, I have too. I mean, just to go back to, Caritas and some of the Catholic
not
charities.
Not to take away anything from the others.
No, not at all. But I mean, I just was aware because I was in the Holy Land in Bethlehem at Christmas time. I was aware because of what was happening in Gaza of the work of Caritas and the humanitarian agencies when, of course, they could finally get in and so forth. But she had a lot of wonderful stories of work that they do in Darfur. She said the World Food Program feeds 3 million people a day, trapped far from their homes. This is Darfur, in the desolate and dangerous desert. She talked about the aid being given to Gaza, as a matter of fact. They're working with other programs to bring, for example, fortified date bars to the people of Gaza, bars that will provide nourishment, will provide vitamins, so forth and so on. One of my favorite stories that she told was she calls it the Salt Ladies of Senegal. And she said, Senegal is a food deficient nation, but produces a surplus of salt. The problem is it's not fortified with iodine. And Senegal has an epidemic of iodine deficiency disorders, such as goiter. She said, so what the World Food Program did, they decided to purchase all its salt from 7,000 village producers and give them the tools to iodize the salt. So the result is a win-win-win situation. The women have a steady income, those who produce the salt. We get iodized salt for our programs, and they sell iodized salt in their villages, helping to fight disorders. So there's many, many ways of trying to help the starving in the world. And you know, in my own parish in Rome, Santa Susanna's, we have the Rice Bowl Project every year. We are linked with a certain village or town in Africa, Central America, so where we can help people. And the idea is, if we are renouncing voluntarily one or two meals a week, the money you would spend on that meal goes in this little box that you bring home with you, and at the end of the Lenten season, we then bring this box back to Santa Susanna. All the contributions in that go to help whatever project we're working on this year.
So the Vatican also has an office for promoting and coordinating charity, doesn't it? Its own office, Cor Unum, doesn't it?
They have a Cor Unum, which is often called the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, meaning one heart, and that's often called the Pope's charity office. Then, of course, Caritas International is located right in the heart of the Vatican.
The president of that is Cardinal Paul Cordes.
Exactly. Oh, he's traveling all over the world and sees these situations. We've only spoken of a couple of them right now, but he brings back a firsthand report to the Holy Father. And I think that's perhaps even why we've heard the Holy Father on various occasions talk about hunger, talk about poverty, talk about the suffering, this bottom billion of the world's population. He gets these reports firsthand from people. They've been on the ground. They've seen the suffering. They've seen the lack. They've seen the deficiencies of food and vitamin and so forth. So the Pope knows whereof he speaks.
Thanks very much, Joan.
We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, have a good Lent.